Our next interview discusses the theoretical risk of transmission of variant Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, VCJD, from devices that come into contact with the front of the eye, namely contact tonometers and reusable trial contact lenses. Last year, new recommendations made by the Department of Health prompted the College of Optometrists to revise their guidance on this issue. Professor John Lawrenson was part of the group that considered these recommendations and also helped draft the new college guidance. In this interview, John discusses with Hugh Breakspeare what the changes mean for practicing optometrists.
Can you remind us how VCJD is transmitted?
Well, Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, CJD, is a rare but fatal neurodegenerative disorder that occurs sporadically. Variant CJD was first described in 1994, and it differed from sporadic CJD in certain important respects. Significantly, it affected younger people, and there was a causal link with BSE contaminated beef products. We all remember the mad cow disease, as it was referred to. The number of cases increased in the early part of centuries. So I think in total, since 1995, there have been something like 170 reported cases, although the majority were in the early part of the century. And the number of cases has really fallen considerably since then. And it's largely down to the measures that were put in place to remove infected beef products from the food chain. I think the significant thing is that this is a transmissible disease, and there is documented evidence that this disease can be transmitted through these infectious proteins that are referred to as prions, and certain medical and surgical procedures have been shown to transmit the infectious agent, so things like blood transfusion, neurosurgery. But I think significantly, as far as we're concerned, there has been a link with transmission of CJD through corneal transplantation. The number of cases are rare, never completely proven, but there has been a link. But I think it's important to say that there's never been any cases of person-to-person transmission of either CJD or variant CJD resulting from diagnostic examination or contact lens wear.
So we are talking about just purely a theoretical risk.
I think largely, and in fact, as we'll discuss later, I think the risk has been downgraded since the guidance was first considered in 2001.
What were the original recommendations when the problem first emerged?
Back in the late 90s, when the problem first arose, the Department of Health issued a statement that contact lenses should never be reused. Well, clearly, this caused a significant amount of debate and controversy within the profession. And guidance was issued jointly by the College of Optometrists and ABDO in 2001, really recognising that it would be impractical in certain situations for single use of certain lenses to be recommended. So really thinking about keratoconic fitting sets or diagnostic lenses that contact the eye, for example, gonioscopes. It's important to remember, though, that when this issue was being debated, that it was really against the background of a lot of uncertainty regarding the number of potential cases of variant CJD. And there was a risk that it would reach epidemic proportion.
Now, Department of Health's recently updated the recommendations, which prompted the college to revise their guidelines. Can you give us an outline of what these new guidelines are?
Well, the Department of Health commissioned an advisory group to look at CJD in ophthalmology, and the advisory group consisted of ophthalmologists, optometrists, microbiologists, and other experts. And the college guidance, the new college guidance, was really a response to that advisory group series of recommendations. Really, after considering the evidence, the advisory group downgraded the risk of infectivity of the cornea. It had previously been classified as a high-risk tissue with respect to infectivity, and it was then subsequently downgraded to low risk. So The committee really looked at the guidance with respect to conventional pathogens and cross-infection in general with bacteria and viruses, rather than specifically considering variant CJD.
So do you think these new guidelines are going to make an optometrist's life in practice slightly easier?
In some respects, yes, because the guidance puts a much greater emphasis on the use of disposable contact lenses and disposable instruments whenever possible, and it specifically recommends the use of disposable tonometer prisms. And obviously that means that those lenses would not need to be disinfected if they were only to be used once. There are two other important differences in the new guidance, not necessarily making the disinfection process any easier. The process still consists of quite a large number of steps, but I think it's important for us to consider why each of those steps is in place, and we know why it is there. Now, two things really changed. Research came to light that showed that whenever lenses contacted the eye, they remove a significant amount of cellular and proteinaceous material, and it's important that this is removed before the disinfection process starts. So the new guidance recommends a rinsing and washing stage prior to disinfection. The other important difference is that it reduces the concentration of the disinfecting solution. It's still bleach, sodium hypochlorite, as with the original guidance, but it reduces the concentration of the bleach from 2% previously to 1% now. So this is effectively half-strength domestic bleach. So if we think about the new guidance, we can really break that down into six distinct stages. First of all, rinsing with sterile water immediately after use, not allowing the lens to dry, and then cleaning with liquid soap or detergent, which is then rinsed with sterile water, and then it's put into the disinfecting solution, the 1% bleach, for 10 minutes. And then the subsequent stages are really to remove the bleach contamination, so three rinsing steps to remove the bleach. And the recommendation is that the lens is then stored dry. It puts a big emphasis on using sterile water rather than tap water, and this is because of the potential risk of acanthamoeba. But sterile water is freely available through medical suppliers as water for irrigation, as it's referred to.
A lot of practitioners use alcohol swabs for cleaning tonometer heads. What's your view on this?
Well, that practice really should be frowned upon. I think the problem with using the alcohol wipes is that, first of all, that the alcohol effectively fixes the cellular and proteinaceous material to the tonometer head. And there is no evidence that alcohol in itself is an effective disinfectant. So really on two levels. One is that, you know, it effectively fixes the proteins and the cells on the surface of the tonometer that's been removed from the cornea. And secondly, and probably more importantly, it's not an effective disinfection.
Why is it important for these guidelines to be followed correctly in terms of transmission of VCJD and conventional pathogens?
Probably the most important reason is the protection of the public and reducing the risk of cross-infection, emphasising disposability whenever possible, highlighting poor practice, as we referred to, for example, using alcohol wipes. It's also quite important that we audit our infection control practice, and this is an important part of clinical governance. The clinical governance website, Quality in Optometry, has a very good online audit for infection control that I can recommend.
Do you think these guidelines are going to continue to evolve as research develops?
Well, the guidance was developed based on the evidence that was available to the advisory group at the time, and a significant amount of research had taken place in the 10 years since the production of the previous guidance. So the current guidance is evidence-based and conforms to best available evidence. But of course, as further evidence becomes available, this will be considered and incorporated into future guidance as appropriate.
So if there are any practitioners out there who want to know more, it's all on the college website.
Yes, that's true. The specific guidance around disinfection of contact lenses and diagnostic lenses is contained within a bigger guidance document that's looking at infection control in general and measures that we can take to reduce cross-infection. So it includes, for example, advice on hand washing.
Thanks very much for talking to us today.
Thank you.
Thanks, John and Hugh. For more information on the new guidelines, consult the OQ webpage or your CD insert.